I'm Jackie Pierre.
And I'm Joseph Lunta.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, November 16th, 2015.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I guess we won't spend too much time talking about what happened in Paris last week, but I mean, it's on everybody's mind today and over the past weekend.
Right.
What do you do when something tragic like this happens? Because you've got young kids. Do you talk to them about it? Do you let them watch the news? Or?
You know, not too much of watching the news. We kind of, basically, I mean, they're on social, I mean, anyways, my older one is on social media. So it's all over social media before you even get a chance to talk to them. So when I got to her about it, she had already known.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, just kind of a brief discussion. And if she has any questions, I'm open to, you know, to listening to them, because I probably won't be able to answer every question she has. But yeah, just a quick little chat. And the younger one, she's too young to really know what's going on. So
I've always wondered, because some parents say that they want to keep their kids away from stuff like that. And I guess with technology the way it is and just people talking, like, I mean, if you're taking the kids out in the playground or in the mall or on the bus, they would hear this stuff, wouldn't they?
Yeah, definitely. Especially the older ones.
Yeah.
They hear it and they understand it, right?
Yeah.
But like I said, for the younger people, I mean, younger, and I mean like 8 and under, like Sophia's mm-hmm. 7.5, she's not watching the news. They're on social media. It's like YouTube, and it's their little, you know, egg-opening things. Nothing that she would see anything about this on. If it came up, you know, I'd have to kind of try and explain it the best you can to a 7-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't come up as a topic of discussion yet.
Did you find that there are lots of moments like this, whether it's a terrorism, a murder, shooting, say, at schools? I mean, we're having a lot of these sort of moments, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's happening more often than I'd like, than I'd like to have to deal with. I mean, the whole, even the Vancouver, the riots when the, you know, the
Stanley Cup, yeah.
Yeah, the Stanley Cup riots. That was kind of a moment for both my kids. Again, Sophia was too young to really understand, but Simone was really, she was kind of, she was like 8, I think, 7, almost 8, and she saw it on the news, and she understood, and it was really confusing and upsetting to her. So those are times when you have to kind of sit down and explain things, and it gets very long-winded, and it can be, you know.
And are some of the questions that they don't feel safe themselves?
Well, yeah, that's usually, I know with Simone, she's very hypersensitive, so it's about, yeah, like, her usually was being scared that this was going to happen to her at some point.
Yeah.
You know, even, like, the school shootings, I know she had a bit of fear around that for a bit. But, yeah, you have to really, you know, hope that these things don't happen and kind of try not have them be jaded for the rest of their lives. It's not the ideal world you like them to grow up in, where,
yeah,
you know, they're living in fear at every turn, but it's the reality,
yeah,
apparently, of what it is now.
Yeah. So digressing dramatically here, because it is a heavy topic, and I'm sure we'll be talking about Paris and in our workplaces.
Oh, it'll be talked about everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some other uplifting things we can talk about on a Monday morning.
Yeah, not quite uplifting, because it has gotten quite wet in this part of the world with the rain.
As it is.
Yeah. I mean, I just, it's not too long ago where it was summer and we were complaining about how dry it was and there wasn't enough water and we were under shortages and things like that, and now there's just too much rain.
Right. Isn't it funny how
yeah.
that works? It's the rain, the downpour that happened just last week was insane, though. Like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and it would go on for a long time. And do you find that people tend to forget how to act when it rains, whether you're driving or whether...
Oh, gosh.
I mean, if I'm standing at a bus, I'm always afraid to stand too close because some idiot is going to, you know...
Well, yeah, that and... The fact, I mean, people are just crazy. People act like I mean, it rains a lot here in Vancouver, right? And and it seems like when it starts raining, people lose sight of where they live all of a sudden, and they start driving crazy, just out of control. Really, we get more rain here than we do dry season. You should be accustomed to this. Especially, you know, I mean, I don't even drive, so I'm just going by what I see as a passenger. But on transit, disgusting. I absolutely hate taking transit when it's raining.
Yeah, and people, you know, I mean, I'm guilty of this. I've poked someone in the back with my umbrella in the past on a bus. Not proud of it, but, you know.
You shouldn't be. That's rude. I would never. You know, I don't know, you like umbrellas, right? Like big umbrellas.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not really into, I don't like carrying stuff. I like my hands to be free.
So how do you stay dry then? You wear Gore-Tex and all that?
I usually, I'll invest in like a good jacket with, you know, a nice hood, or I wear hoodies. I don't like holding umbrellas.
Well, I have a nice raincoat that I bought when Sears was still downtown. And I must have paid, I don't know, something like $60 for it when it's probably worth three times more.
Right.
And it's a good thing, but I mean, it's not, you know, it's been a few years now, and I'm trying to get a new one. And I'm looking online and looking at like the Bay Online, for example.
Right.
And it's, you know, $300, $400 for a raincoat. Now, you know.
They're so expensive.
So I understand what you're saying, that we live in a place that's wetter, more than dry. But, I mean, I still don't want to pay $400
for it. No, and I agree. I don't either. So you know what? You should go to Costco, because that's where I just got my last jacket, and it's so amazing. I'm so happy with it.
It's one of those waterproof deals?
It's waterproof, and it has a hood, and it's warm. And I actually just wore it up to my last trip when I was up in Prince George. Mind you, that was in October, but it was still really cold and raining up there. And it was really nice. I wasn't too hot, and I was just like the right temperature, and it kept me dry. It's hard to find a nice, good fitting jacket.
See, I won't wear a hood.
Not like $300.
Yeah. Well, I won't wear a hood. That's my problem.
Oh no, I won't buy a jacket if it does not have a hood.
Really?
Preferably removable, but if not, I'm okay with that too. I like to be versatile, but, you know.
People stick things in the back, you know what I mean?
No, we're not children. That shouldn't be happening anymore.
When I see that on the bus, I'm so tempted to put an orange or something in someone's hood, you know?
Oh, my God. Sure. Can't put an orange in. Well, if somebody ever complains about getting an orange in their hoodie, I'll know.
That was me, yeah.
They were probably sitting in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was this guy sitting behind you, he's dreamt about this day.
But the other thing, too, is when you get on the bus and it's a rainy day, the windows are all fogged up and it's gross. And the seats sometimes, you know what I mean?
With water on the seat, it's just so disgusting. It grosses me right out. I don't want to touch anything or anybody on the bus or on transit.
What do we do about it then?
Well, I decided the other day that I'm going to start driving because I can't take it anymore. It's just people lose their sense of, like, you know, the bubble, you know, the personal space.
Yeah.
Especially when it's wet and raining. I was taking the kids to school the other day, and this guy was literally, like, on my shoulder. I turned around, and his face was right there. Like, wow, can I breathe? It's already it's already disgusting enough on this bus. And now, like, you know, those things bother me. So I've taken transit for far too long now. Maybe I'm just not meant for transit. These things are they aggravate me too much to the point where I feel like I need to just do it and get my license and start driving.
See, I've avoided driving. I mean, I've worked at a towing company for years, and I've managed that. So I guess you've given in to it, have you?
I think I have to.
Yeah.
Especially this season, and you know, once it snows, you know, that's when it gets even grosser.
Yeah.
On transit, and I just want no part of it.
And then they turn up the heat too, which makes it really gross.
You know, and you're breathing that recycled, nasty, and you don't know if it's rain you're actually stepping in or if it's, who knows? I just hate it. It's honestly one of my biggest pet peeves is transit when it's raining. The umbrellas, you know, people are so rude with their umbrellas, putting it on the seat. Why would you do that?
Yeah, and I have a horror story because I've had an umbrella stolen out of a restaurant, and it's a nice restaurant, and I don't mind mentioning the name L'Abattoir in Gastown, because I had put the umbrella in the bucket, you know, as you get into the place,
right?
And it just so happened that we were there for brunch one day, and I come back and the umbrella's gone. And it was a nice umbrella too, because I'd actually invested, I think I spent $80 on it at the umbrella shop.
That's insanity.
And I guess I deserved it if I spent that much.
Kind of.
But some son of a bitch stole it. And I remember when I reviewed the restaurant on Yelp, I made mention of the fact
the stolen umbrella.
Yeah, when I was there, the date and the times that I was there, because I want that umbrella back. And I get some snarky reply from the people at L'Abattoir to come down and, you know, take a pick at umbrellas. I mean, who needs that?
Hey, maybe that's how your umbrella got stolen.
Probably.
Somebody else complained of their umbrella getting stolen. They said, oh, yeah, come take a pick. And they were like, yeah, this one looks expensive. I'll take this one. Happened to be yours.
Yeah. The food was actually quite good. I haven't been back. I don't know if I've been turned off by the umbrella incident, but maybe.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is. It would turn me off, mind you. I mean, I'll admit, I've stolen an umbrella before.
Ah.
Because I knew it was a good umbrella. Because I know that I'm too cheap to buy an umbrella that good.
Are you sure you want to be admitting this?
It's okay. It's my one confession of the year. That's all I'm saying. I have stolen an umbrella before.
And how the hell do we get along if I've been a victim and you're a thief?
This is how it works, right?
Yeah.
Because it just works. I've only done it once, I promise. The others I found.
But we've known each other actually since before high school, since elementary school, as we mentioned in the past, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I met up with some friends from high school this past week, and it's something about the friendships that you develop in high school that eventually, I guess they last longer than anything else, don't they?
I think so. I was thinking about that the other day, you know, with thinking about my own daughter going to school. And, you know, she's really trying to, like, I guess, solidify friendships right now in elementary school with it being her last year. And I was just explaining to her that, you know, some of my most... some of my greatest friendships I actually were started in high school.
Yeah.
You know, with people that I did not know in elementary school. So it's just interesting to see that transition. It's different.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's funny, you know, you've got a daughter who's about to go to high school next September, and so she's thinking about these things. I remember when I was that age, And you and I were both going to Tupper. So I knew you were going to Tupper, and I was going to Tupper. But I remember I made friends with a guy who was in our class at Dickens. And I guess I wanted someone that I was familiar with, that I could hang out with, because I knew high school. Even then, you know, it's that thing that's written about, you know, that's the subject of books and movies and the sort. You know, just how tough high school is. And
it
so
is.
You think, you know, you need to make certain friends so that when you're at the new place, you have friends already.
Well, yeah, you don't want to be a loser, right?
Yeah.
You have no friends at all.
Sure.
You have to, right? So that's exactly what I'm seeing her do right now, is like, you know, trying to solidify those friendships so she's got something solid when she starts grade 8. But I'm like, well, you got to be open to other things too, though, right? Because now you're going to be co-mingling with hundreds of other kids from many other different schools. You might, like, hit it off right away with somebody else, you know, which is kind of, not, you know, with me, I know I had, we had a couple of friends that we went to elementary school with too that came to high school with us that I was friends with in grade eight, but it was like, and I don't know, maybe it's a girl thing, but shortly into grade eight, we all kind of like already started to separate, and we checked in with each other, you know, on occasion, but we'd already kind of found like our own friends. You know, I made friends with this, with Grace, who we had a home room together and then ended up having like 7 out of 8 of our classes together.
Huh.
So we were almost like forced to be friends, I like to say, because I couldn't get away from her.
Yeah.
And yeah, and we're still friends today. And same with, you know, some of my other friends, Roxanne. And these are people that I didn't go to elementary school with that I'm still, you know, we just made friends in grade eight and have been great friends since.
Yeah, it's funny how, yeah, some of my closest friends are ones that I've met at an early,
in high school, right?
Yeah, in grade eight, especially, you know, the first friends. Because, I mean, the guy I was friends with, he moved away like 3 months into grade eight.
Right.
And so I guess that forced me to make friends with other people.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it's different people, too, right? Like,
exactly.
You get so used to your little bubble of elementary school. And then you go to high school and it's a whole other ball game.
Does your daughter, does she tell you about some of the things that she's worried about, say, about high school?
Well, yeah, she's worried about, like, the friends aspect, because she's really, she's a bit of a tomboy, so she has a lot of guy friends, but I know she'd like to have some girlfriends more. She does have girlfriends, but they all, they're from elementary school, and most of them have moved to other schools and different areas, so she sees them on the weekends or on professional days. So it's like, you know, she's kind of dealing with that and her, you know, kind of like passing. And she's a real worrywart, so she worries about everything, really. How's she going to do? What courses is she going to take? What if she doesn't get good grades?
Was that stuff that you were worried about? I mean, what I was worried about going into high school was because we had great teachers in elementary school. But there wasn't the sort of the kind of work that we did wasn't what other kids were doing in other schools.
You know what? We went to a great, we were very fortunate for the elementary school we went to and the teachers that we had.
Yeah.
It was excellent. But I feel, just me personally, I don't think I was prepared for high school. I don't think I was prepared, like, I guess, maybe not all the way academically, in some senses, maybe academically, because my math was horrid. But I think just mentally, I don't feel like I was ready for that. We were kind of pampered. We were coddled with our teachers. They were really, like, they were like mothers to us. And when you go to high school, you don't really get that anymore.
Yeah, we called them by their first names, too, remember that?
Yeah, we called them by their first names, and we talked to them, we were open with them, they took us camping, for God's sakes, you know, like, we were very lucky in that sense. Our education wasn't always so, you know, formal and rigid.
Yeah, it wasn't education, it was more everything,
learning
it was life, you know? Yeah, it was life, yeah.
And I just, when we went to high school, it was like, I just couldn't get with this whole, you know, 4 blocks this day and then, you know, I wasn't accustomed to that, nor was I prepared for that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I have to do like a whole hour and a half of math? That's crazy. And it's a whole other class with a different teacher. And I have to go from this class to this class. It was just, it was such a headache. I was not prepared for it. So
yeah.
But I'm kind of, you know, trying to prepare her for that too.
Yeah, so when I was out and about with these two old high school colleagues of ours this past week, you know, we reminisced, and it wasn't a bad time at all. I mean, Tupper, where we went, was a bad time in the early 90s before we got there, and then there was a little bit of violence after we left.
Yeah.
But during the time we were there, it was pretty good, right?
No, it was great.
Yeah.
I was happy with it. I mean, you know, and that's where my daughter would like to go now, so I can't fault her for that. I went myself.
Yeah.
And I turned out fine. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and there's you. You're normal.
Pretty much.
For the most part.
Yeah.
And all of our other friends of Tupper.
Yeah, well, there's no one in there that's been indicted for embezzlement or murder, even.
Murder, no. Not that I know of. Other things could be possible, but... Murder, I haven't heard yet, though. So, you know, crazier things have happened. But for the most part, you know, some really successful people have come out of Tupper. And, you know, it's not about the school. It really, it's up to the person and the work that they put into it. And so that's another thing I'm trying to, you know, instill in her, too, of course, because with it being grade 7,
yeah.
They're all talking about mini schools and what school's better and Point Grey and this one's better than the next school. And you know, I think you would come to lunch with that. Remember when we had lunch with Sir?
Yeah.
And I think he had gone to a mini school
mm-hmm.
with Maya, our other friend from elementary school, And, you know, from what I gather from my friends that have gone to mini schools, it just really depends on the person. The learning is a little more focused in smaller groups, and it's just a really small group of kids is kind of how I understood it. They don't really get the full high school experience, though.
Which sounds really, if people are listening to us, like our elementary school experience.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounded like, yeah, like what I hear from Maya and from Dur, because they went to the same...
The mini school, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah, from what I've heard from them, it just was like an extension of elementary school, which, you know, still keeps you very comfortable. And we were forced to kind of be uncomfortable and transition from that.
But at the end of the day, whether it's us or your daughter or kids these days... Kids generally are quite resilient, aren't they? They're not as weak as we'd like to think they are.
Oh no, you know, and I learned that just, you know, 2 years ago when I switched Simone's schools so she could take this intensive French program.
Uh-huh.
She was in grade 5 at Carleton, and this program is grade 6-7. And I thought that switching her schools, I honestly thought it was going to be so traumatizing,
mm-hmm.
and especially for the little one because she was. Was in kindergarten and she was going to have to start grade 1 at a new school. And that week that they started school was the hardest. I mean, Sophia, it was hard. It was actually harder for the younger one
mm-hmm.
than it was for Simone. She kind of just, you know, she's old enough. She just went in and lived her life. But Sophia, for the first almost 3 days, she cried. And then the next week, she went on with life. And now she acts as though she's been going there since kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she wasn't going to die. Like, I thought she was going to need counseling. I felt like such a horrible mother. I was going to switch them back to school because I felt so bad for taking them from their friends. But they are quite resilient.
So when you're thinking of doing something like that, moving them from one school to another, do you do that, I guess, getting advice from people around you, right?
Yeah, there was, well...
Because I've always wondered when you make decisions, okay, I'm not a parent at all, but
yeah.
do you go to books? Do you, I guess you just talk to other parents and you see what works, right?
Well, I talk to other parents, and at the end of the day, it's what works for us and what works for me, right?
Yeah.
So I talked, there was an information session at the school about the program, and I went to the info session with my mom,
mm-hmm.
and so that she could kind of help me make a decision. And it was my mom, actually, that helped me decide. So I ran through it with her and my grandma, and then kind of thought if it was feasible for us. And, of course, I talked to Simone about it because she's the one that has to...
Go to school. Yeah.
And then, yeah, we just thought it was more beneficial to make this change in the long run for her. So we decided to do it, and now it's like, you know, her, she's almost done.
Yeah.
Went by so quickly, it feels like.
And high school just go by quickly, too. Don't you remember that?
Oh, God. It's like, that's why I'm just, you know, I'm freaking out, because it's like, I know she starts high school, and once that starts, it's pretty much just a flash from there.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, what, grade 8, grade 9, grade 10. By grade 10, she's going to start, you know, prepping for her post-secondary, hopefully.
Yeah, it's five years, and 5 years seems like a long time, whether you're in high school or whether you're our age now. But it does go by so fast.
It goes by quickly.
When it is high school.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, and when what's bad isn't necessarily going to be bad all the time. It's like that line that we always hear, it gets better.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
It gets better.
But I always wondered about advice. It's just that, I guess, because not everyone's advice works, and so how do you know what advice to take from people? But I guess you know what it is. It's like an AA meeting.
Right.
You learn about everyone's experience, and then you see
exactly
what works for you, right?
I never really take anyone. I can't say ever take any one person's advice. I will hear stories.
Yeah.
And I'll gather information, and then I'll make like an informed decision based on the information that I have. But I can't say, I took this one person's advice, because I really hate to blame my mistakes. If something were to go wrong,
yeah,
you know, to say, oh, well, it's so-and-so's fault. Well, no, I have to be accountable for it.
Yeah.
So I have to use my own judgment. And especially with these things with the kids, you know, with their schooling and education, it's very important, because we have to guide them. I never really... My mom wasn't really particularly like, you know, you need to go to this school and you need to take these courses. Did your parents do that?
No.
Like try and guide you?
No.
You know, because some do.
Yeah.
Right? And I also didn't really know what I wanted to do either, so.
Yeah, I had no idea at grade 8 what I wanted to do. I mean, I had an idea of what I wanted to do, but I mean, it's not realistic too, right, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's not.
I mean, everyone wants to be an astronaut, but I mean, how many people do, right?
Yeah, no. Not many.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just about, you know, having at least some guidance and taking the advice, just like Simone's doing now, right? She's really just coming to me and getting advice about what high school was like and telling her it's not, you know, don't go off my experience, because that was like, you know, 100 years ago.
That was
what kids are doing now.
That was in the last century.
Yeah, pretty much.
Literally, yeah.
Literally, it was. Yeah. So I don't know what kids are doing with their lives now in high school. You know, like the things I hear, I'm concerned. I'm feeling like I should homeschool you. but I don't have time for that either. So.
Yeah.
That's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, November 16th, 2015.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 days.